Hi, everybody. We have a full house. Thanks for coming. So this is the Roman Dirge Unplugged, which is actually an intimate interactive Q&A. But if you would like us to unplug the mics, if you feel that that's what you paid for, we could, but probably shouldn't. So thanks, everybody, for coming. I'm Lisa from Rumored Magazine. I'm going to ask Roman a bunch of questions, and then have Adam. First, we'll do a minute. If anybody wants to get some photos, you can stand up and get closer, and then I'll ask you to sit down.
Behold all my glory.
It's the paparazzi moment.
Whoa, Jesus!
It's all I needed was someone to move. That's what they wanted.
It's gonna come off like a maniac.
Reading your comics, you are a maniac.
That's true.
All right, thanks, everybody. So we will no doubt spend some time during this next hour talking about Lenore. You know, just I thought maybe some people would be interested. But I'm gonna start with what I'm excited about, which is the Haunted Mansion comic.
Cool.
Could you tell us how you got involved with that, please?
Hello. Dan, our publisher at Slave Labor, mentioned to me that he got some Disney properties, and he said, so I'm thinking about the Haunted... I'm like, yes. So then, been doing that for a while now. There was a Lenore crossover one in the second issue. I didn't get my story in on time for the third issue, so don't buy that one. And then fourth issue just came out, I think, last week. Yeah, all right, sorry. I'm sick, so I'm kind of retarded right now.
Yeah, we need to give him an extra special round of applause because he's not feeling great, but he didn't want to let you down. So.
I kind of spread my filthy American diseases.
So for those of you who, how many of you have actually been on the Haunted Mansion ride? Anybody? It's the best ride ever,
it's
right?
True. Yes.
When did you become enamored with this? When were you first afflicted with the Haunted Mansion?
A baby. When I was a baby. Sorry, I was just trying to picture me as a baby, but with the tattoos and. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's just intrinsic. That ride is, you know, we all want our house to look like that, so, right? Yeah, you do.
Working for Disney, though, you know, a Disney property, mm-hmm. for someone who's an independent spirit such as yourself, how is that different? How is that challenging?
I've actually been working for Disney for a long time. I'm a conceptual artist for them. So, Imagineering stuff and, like, cartoons. Stuff you would never know I did. It's just, like, you know, pay the bills stuff. But it's fun. I mean, I'm a big Disney fanatic, surprisingly.
There was two versions of the cover of the new Haunted Mansion comic. Do you know anything about that?
I haven't heard that.
Okay.
No. Liar. Just kidding.
Someone's going to come and zap you?
No, I don't know. I think there was just something wrong with the paper.
Oh, okay.
The paper stock, like they were kind of cheap and it was thin, so they reprinted it with good stuff.
So when did you decide that you liked dead things a lot more than other kids?
I don't know. I don't even know how to answer that. It's just easy to play with dead stuff because it doesn't run away, you know?
You have an interesting relationship with animals, just in general, dead and alive, don't you?
I do. I actually really love animals, alive as well. I have three black cats, spooky, and but our house is just filthy with taxidermy, like all over the place, and it's really cool. Like when the plumber or somebody has to come in, you know, and they're like, and there's weapons.
Right.
On the walls, and I'm like, come on in, come on in.
Well, can't you just look up in the yellow pages, like goth plumber or something, and then the guy comes, you know.
No. I think you want to steal my stuff. You know?
That is a good point. That's a very good point. When, taxidermy, when did you actually get in, you know, start accumulating these things?
Probably like, I don't know, 10 years to get the collection I have now.
When did you sort of become aware that it existed as like a, as an art form? Or?
That'd be about 10 years ago when
okay.
I started collecting.
So it was like kind of immediate?
Yeah, it was an instant love.
Do you pet them? Like, do you name them all? And
actually,
pet them
I do, which is really sad, I guess. I don't name them, but they do feel nice. And again, they don't run away, so.
Awesome. Let's talk about Lenore, because she's just so cool and so cute. Did you base her on the Poe character at all?
Yeah, I did. Because it's just appropriate. My name's in the poem, you know, a dirge for the doubly dead, and that she died so young. So I was like, bingo. So it's perfect.
When did you realize that it was a cult phenomenon? Like, when did you realize that there were a lot of people?
Moments like now, like with the photo thing, it's weird to me because I'm just a dork, you know. So I don't.
But it's been many years since this journey started for you, this Lenore adventure.
Yeah, longer than most people think. I've actually been putting it out since '92, and like when you think about '92, what other spooky comics were out? You won't find one. So I'm awesome.
Did that?
I'm humble.
Is art a part of your life every day? Do you draw every day? Do you think about drawings every day?
It is, and I wouldn't even just say so much about art. It's just the thought process of writing a book like Lenore, which is why I put out like a book a year. It's not because I'm lazy. It's just I could put it out every few months, but the quality of it would go way down. It wouldn't be funny. I mean, it's over time, like just hanging out with my friends, or I'm sitting around watching TV, and I'm like, it would be funny if Lenore did this. And I'll write it down, and then, you know, somehow tie all the jokes together in a story. Somehow it works.
What's the test of its worthiness? Because we all get jokes, and they're funny at the time, and then the next day you tell someone else, and they you know, it's not so funny. So what's the test for you to actually put it in print and know that it's really funny?
I never know. I just go for it. I mean, like, one of the newer issues, I put in, like, a 9-page banana joke. I thought it was funny. And I called my publisher, and he's like, hey, are you done with Lenore? I'm like, no, I'm still working on the banana joke. And he's like, you were working on that a week ago. I'm like, yeah, it's on page 9. He's like, you can't do a 9-page banana joke. Watch me, man. And I did it. It's kind of funny.
Look out, there's going to be like banana shirts now. Banana, like,
I hope so.
You know,
I
action figures. At what point did you start entertaining the merchandise, and how did that come into your canon of work?
I got approached about that a long time ago, like especially the t-shirts, but I wasn't into it. I didn't really want to be like a t-shirt guy, but I started seeing all these t-shirts of Lenore characters that weren't Lenore, and it just kind of like ticked me off. So I was like, I'll put out some Lenore shirts and destroy them. So that's basically why, because other people were putting out my stuff. That was, you know what I mean, like Scary Miss Mary and you know stuff like that. It just bothered me.
Is that an issue that you face in all of your creative endeavors in terms of as your popularity rises and people see that you have an audience and that your stuff sells? Do you see a lot of, you know, impressions of your work out there?
I do. I saw, I was at Disney and they're like, dude, have you seen this? And they put on a video and it was called Evelyn, the cute, evilest dead girl or something. And I was like, oh my God, the balls on this guy.
He's a Canadian.
Evil balls. I know.
Evil. But what do you do?
Actually, the two times I've seen someone really borrow heavily from me, they were both Canadian. So what's up with that? Someone owes me a beer.
We'll get you one.
Thanks.
We like you more?
All right.
Is that fair?
Sure.
So tell me about the next project, what you're working on today or next week. Or the next thing
today.
That's going to roll off the presses.
Probably the next book out will be Samurai Sloth.
But it's a big book. It's like more like a graphic novel, and I'm slow, so it's gonna be a while. And then Lenore 13, which will be in color. The series is gonna start being in color now, from now on. And I'm doing a bunch of children's books kind of things, like one called It Ate Billy for Christmas. you know, that'll end well. The Bear in the Belly Lint, it's like my Wizard of Oz kind of book. Not so much stuff. What was the other one?
Peter
the Pirate Squid.
Do you get a lot of calls? Like your phone rings a lot with collaborative ideas or people that want to put out your work?
I don't answer my phone. Vibrate. And it feels nice.
It does. It's good. I want to have an opportunity to get a lot of questions in. Do a lot of people have questions? We've got a lot of maybe artists in here who want to ask them technical questions about drawing or about the comic industry. That would be good.
I'm just an aspiring artist. Just to get ready and into penciling, let's just say, do you have any advice?
Get a pencil. I mean, the question needs to be a little more specific.
Well, like, to really get into the industry.
Uh-huh. As a penciler?
Or as anything, pretty much, just an artist.
As a towel boy. I mean, it sounds cliche, but practice, I mean,
yeah.
look at my Lenore 1. That looks like crap. I mean, you know, over the years, you just keep drawing and you get good at it. And you start to, I mean, are you at a point now where you can picture everything in your head and then output it to paper?
To an extent, yeah.
Yeah, once you can start seeing it like it's real and a movie in your head, then you're golden.
Gotcha.
All right. That probably didn't answer anything, but.
Kind of, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I want to know what inspired your style, because it's so unique. What was your inspiration?
As a kid, Rankin and Bass, like the stop motion Rankin and Bass movies, I really liked that. And then Gru the Wanderer. I don't know. that's pretty much it. Like those were the kind of things I looked at.
I could see an obvious Jonin-esque style in your.
But you don't, because Johnny came out in 95 and Lenore came out in 92.
That's true.
Oh, boo.
It's not a boo, it's just a fact. He's one of my best friends, you know. We fight over it all the time.
But this is part of what you were saying in terms of people don't necessarily realize that you've been doing this since 92.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true. Back then, you know, was there a hot topic in 92? Was there a place for people to see this kind
so.
Of stuff? Like, outside of, you know, comic book shops, the phenomenon hadn't really...
I was publishing it and putting it out for free, like
yeah.
at coffee shops and stuff like that. That's something you might want to look into, buying a coffee shop.
and putting other comic book artist stuff there for free.
Yeah. And the other one, I mean, the other one I get too is like Tim Burton stuff. Like they'll say, one of the funniest things I saw was a review of issue 1 where it said that I was ripping off The Nightmare Before Christmas. And like, Nightmare Before Christmas came out in 93. Ooh, you know, so. Look, I mean, we're all inspired by something. I'm sure there's been things that, you know, I picked up from other people. I just can't name it. You know, it wasn't anything specific. Like,
regardless, your style is cool.
Thanks, man. I like your makeup.
Thank you.
All right.
At the back.
For other media, you talk about film and comic. Has anyone ever tried to approach you in doing video games or something like that?
Yeah, the John Woo company. Oh, John Woo! But they were interested in doing a Hazzies video game, so I kind of, the little toys I did, like little characters ripped in half, you know, for the kids. and so I kind of like just threw it together, developed it, and put it through with them. They wanted it to be on the PSP, so I was all into it. And then, I don't know what happened, it just folded. Like they have to answer to somebody else because they don't actually publish the game. I guess they put it together and somebody else publishes it. And then the publisher looked at this thing and went, no. So I'm like, oh, man.
But even for Lenore, could you picture, for instance, a Lenore as a video game, or is it just something that just...
Oh, yeah, I could totally picture Lenore as a video game. I'd be all over that. I love video games. I'm a big video game guy.
What do you make of the fact that there has been an explosion since 92, since... you know, you started doing Lenore of creepy, cutesy comics and all kinds of media, and it's great because, you know, when we were younger, we had to like break our own toys in half for fun, and now you can buy them, you know, that already like, you know, screwed up. What is it about our generation that we're so into this?
I don't know. I like it. I like seeing it. I mean, I just don't like the where they're in my territory a little too close, but I like a lot of the stuff out there. I see a lot of the spooky stuff. I like spooky, so, yeah. You all like spooky, don't lie. They got wings, I mean, come on.
You said that you break Lenore for yourself, but just had to invent one kind of little person. Did you ever have trauma? Weebles as a child?
Yeah, I hate those things. I can't even look at them now. There's something about them.
Never read is the Weebles.
The Weeble Wobbles. I wanted them to fall down so bad, but they wouldn't. I'd put books on them and stuff. And I really did put them in a blender. That's where that came from. But they actually still went back up, and that creeped me out more. And that became my sister's only revenge on me, because I mean, imagine my poor little sister growing up with me. I mean, it's in one of the books, but if you haven't read it, like, I changed the Teddy Ruxpin tape, said it was like, you know, I'm going to kill you, you save me. And then I went into depth on how the Teddy was going to kill her. So, it was jacked up.
Were you the one that changed the chip on that Elmo talking book? Was that you?
No, it was a Teddy Ruxpin.
No, but like last year there was this, you know, maybe you're still into that, you know. Last year there was this incident where like there was an Elmo talking book supposed to teach children how to use the potty, and it said like, I'm going to kill you instead.
No, I wish I had done it.
I think you can buy them on eBay. It's kind of.
But what I was going to say is my sister's only revenge was that she knew I hated those things and she'd put them all around the house. Like I'd wake up and there's a Weeble Wobble.
You're not over it, are you?
I hate those things. I should admit that because I know people are going to bring me Weeble Wobbles now. My dark secret is out.
Little girl, would you name her Lenore?
God, just the thought of me spawning children is disturbing. Probably not. Nah, I couldn't do that to her. I'm disturbed when people bring their kids. I hope there's no one here now. You're like little kids going, oh, you know, we read your books to our kids all the time. I'm like, don't do that. Those kids are going to kill them in their sleep and think it's fine.
So the fairy tales, you know, for children are really for grown-up children to you?
Yeah, I mean, they're for me, you know. I do my books for myself, like just what I think is funny. And then hopefully other people like it. So far, it's okay.
So far, it's working out.
I hope.
Question.
Before you made Lenore, were there other characters that weren't as popular?
I had one called Father Frost that was like a crazy priest. That didn't go over so well.
You know, it's unfortunate that there aren't enough rooms that you can be with people and make, you know, crazy priest jokes and
yeah, there were people that had issues with that comic. It was just like a short story I did in my friend's comic. It's a comic book called Three. I think you can find it online. You'll see some of my earlier awful art, but it was funny. I mean, that's all that counts, right? He killed a guy because he had a stupid hat. Jesus doesn't like stupid hats.
I think we've all had a moment where we wouldn't mind doing that. A lot of stupid hats up there. Go ahead.
You mentioned that the parents introducing Lenore to their children. What the age do you consider appropriate then? I already did that.
Sleep with the door locked.
The kid has a look for knives, so.
How old is your kid?
Well, tell me what you're going to
do. No, tell me how old your kid is. That's fine.
I did show her 12, and she wasn't interested in 12 with 13.
Even I think 12, a kid knows what's up for the most part, but
actually, we were from out of town. We came just to see you.
Thanks, man.
Huge fan.
Shucks.
What did you do with Disney? In color? Does that give you more to work with in terms of the kinds of jokes you can do, or is it just for the visual effect?
I'm just bored with black and white. You know, there's so much you can do with color and add so much more mood. And I mean, again, like with my older books, they were more like, you know, like little jokes, like gags.
you know, like a 1-2 page gag thing. And that was fun. I mean, it's like a evil Calvin and Hobbes kind of thing. But over time, you know, you just, it plays out, like you get bored with it. So like the newer books are all more story driven with a lot of, you know, stupid stuff and jokes in it. And that's made it fun for me, because I was gonna quit doing it for a while there. And then after I started doing it as a story, I really enjoy it. I actually look very forward to doing each issue of Lenore now. But with, as to your question with color, it's another step, you know, moving along. I mean, we have the technology to do books in color. It's kind of silly to keep doing it in black and white.
You got a bit of color on yourself. Not your face, of course, but the rest of you, you're a bit covered up, but somewhat known for your tattoo obsession. There are people, perhaps, in this audience who have Lenore tattoos. We've seen them. Do you have tattoos of other people's art that you collect in that way?
Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of Disney stuff. See? Like Cruella de Vil, and I have some Nightmare Before Christmas tattoos. I love that movie. What else do I have? You've seen them.
Do you get to cut in line at Disneyland if you like flash the... No,
no, it doesn't work. I've tried.
What about magic? Do you still practice magic?
Every now and then, for fun, but I don't perform anymore.
What magicians really sort of inspired you to start practicing that?
There wasn't one. I mean, for close-up magic, that's another recent thing where like magicians like David Blaine came around and stuff. But for close-up magic before, there wasn't really a guy that you could look up to. I mean, there were a lot of really awesome close-up magicians, but, you know, probably nobody in here would know what I'm talking about. Yeah, like Craig Stone. Everyone's like, Craig Stone? I don't know Craig. But, I mean, things like that. I don't remember what the question was, but I really like magic.
There was the incident that you put in the comic about doing a trick. Was it in a hotel and you caught yourself on fire?
That really happened?
That
was so awful. That's why I tattooed flames all the way up my arm, because there's a burn scar right there, and that's how I tried to hide it. But, yeah, it was a... Does everyone already know this story? You don't? This is for you. Okay, so I was working as a close-up magician in a bar in San Diego, and I always had a couple drinks to loosen up. You know, even though drinking is bad for you, you shouldn't do it when you grow up. And just to loosen up, and I was at the bar, and the bar was all wet and gross, and whatever. And so I went to this table, and I was doing my routine. You know, look, there was a card, now it's gone. You know, doing all this stuff, and then. This is when you could still smoke in bars in California. And so I was doing this cigarette trick where you light a cigarette and you know, people are always weird about that when you're doing magic and then you take a moment and you light a cigarette. They're like, what's he doing? Taking a break. But so then it would float. Like the cigarette would float around you and through your hands and around. And then you would grab it, and there's this final moment where you stare at it and concentrate and you use the magic. And the gas pump. And the flames would come out of the cigarette. But what I didn't know was that the wetness on the bar was alcohol, so it was all and I was determined, because I had never messed up a trick in my life, to just play it off. So I was just like, all right, thanks for coming, you know, have a good night. And the poor little girl literally, because it was like a dinner place too, not just a bar, that little girl was literally like, you're on fire. No, it's all part of the illusion. She's like, I can smell your hair burning. I changed it in the book, but she said, I can smell your skin burning, because it's funnier. But she said, I can smell your hair burning. I'm like, all part of the act, you know. But I was trying to leave, but they kept saying stuff, and I had to keep countering it, and the fire's getting bigger, and I could feel like my eyelashes like starting to become like Velcro, because they were getting all singy. And then finally I just like, you know, all right, bye, you know, stopped off. And literally you could see like the trail of fire coming with smoke, because the jacket was treated so that it couldn't catch fire, because I did a lot of fire magic, but that alcohol just kept burning. I don't know how I got so much in it. Yeah, I was jacked up from that thing.
I could see why you decided not to go that way. You know, you kind of gave that up.
No, I kept doing it like an idiot. But I was just more careful about, you know, soaking my arms in alcohol before I played with fire.
You have this experience which you then use in your comic, and you also made a tattoo out of it physically. I mean, do you turn every grisly thing into art one way or the other?
For the most part, I love that stuff. And I like embarrassing myself. I don't know what it is. Like, I have this deep desire to just humiliate the hell out of myself. I wet my bed up until I was 12, by the way. So, like, why did I do that? One of the newer things involving me is going to be, I think it's going to be in 13, is I was in Germany and I was at a bar in Berlin, and it was a themed restaurant called Klo, which means toilet, and like the places that you sat on were all toilets, and you know, ooh, ha, ha, funny, and they would serve the beer in like the big hospital pee bottles, so it looked like you're drinking pee. That's fun. And then, but the place was like all wacky and crazy. The bartenders, you gotta, it's hard to explain, so much easier to draw it. But there was a, okay, imagine a table going like this. Well, don't imagine, because it is. So imagine the table, and then right here, there's an open spot that goes that way, where the bartenders are. And they had buttons that they could press that would mess with people's chairs. So you'd just be like talking to your friend, ha ha, and all of a sudden your chair would be like, psst. Like, what the hell, you know? And I'm like, up to my friend, you saw it too, right? A couple of beers or whatever. Weird things have happened. So we're like, what is this button doing? There's a button here. We pressed it, and what that button did, God knows why, it catapulted the seat forward. I mean, I don't know why that's funny. But of course, my friend's like, ah, fucker, you know, sorry. And so we're having a good time. My friend Jay, he was a colorist on Zim, and I'm name dropping the colorist. We're having a good time. He goes to the bathroom, and I'm trying to get the bartender's attention, and he didn't speak English, and I was trying to remember how to say it in German. So, you know, I'm like, Nachgangsbitte. He couldn't hear me, so I leaned. I put my hand right on the button and launched myself. I hit the table so hard that I had a bloody nose. I came up, it was all dripping. I'm all, and my friend came back. He's like, what the hell happened to you? And I'm like, and he's like, what? I'm like, the button. He's like, the button? That really happened. It sucked. So I'm probably going to put that in there.
This is your life.
And it'll be cool in color, too, with all the blood spraying from my nose.
Any toilet-related questions? They would have got the poo jokes, the people who run the bar.
That's true.
Yeah.
Maybe. But they spoke German.
At the back.
I mean, any more collaboration with
Baskin? I don't know. I mean, we play Warcraft all the time together. So we collaborate every day, really. Taking out those pesky alliance.
Oh,
yeah.
Nerf Shammy.
What?
Nerf Shammy.
Nerf Shammy.
Nerf.
Nerf?
Yes.
Oh, the shamans? Yeah. I'm a lock. We kick butt.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
That the samurai shaped urinal, was that a true story?
Yeah, that's a All right, here we go. Story time, kids. You'll notice all these stories relate to bars. That's where I'm at. But there's a restaurant in Japan called Ceremon, and it's all themed like heaven and hell. It's two floors. So, you know, we went to hell, right? You know, heaven. Boring. So we went to hell. I just like saying that. And the place was really cool. It was all like wrought iron and evil, and every hour, like a magical unseen ghost train came through. Like the place would rattle, and you'd see lights. It was pretty cool. And so we're having a good time, we're eating, and I was the first one that had to go on the pee journey. So I went to the bathroom, and I was all scared what I was gonna find, you know, like, ooh, the hell bathroom, what could that be? I was already thinking of what it could be. But it was all normal, except for the urinal, which had six arms and like a smiling face thing, and it's like all, but you know, you're a victim of circumstance, so you gotta use it. Not you, because that'd be weird. But so I'm doing what, you know, I'm peeing, and what happens is it's motion activated, and the head, which was like, goes, and now it's all, and it literally does that, it goes, and then the whole thing thing starts like singing and it starts rocking back and forth. And it's got a camera out of nowhere and it's like all something's like rocking, flashing, singing, screaming, and I'm just like, why do I have to pee so bad? And then I come out and I was like all apparently like flushed and you know, they're like, well, what happened to you in the bathroom? And I'm like, the urinal screamed at me. And they're like, what? Like, yeah, and it took pictures. My cousin's like, you have pee-pee on your shoe. But then one by one, each one of them would go and they'd come back with that same look with the same pee-pee on their shoe. Well, not the same pee-pee.
Wow.
I got some doozies. I'm a weird magnet. Like, everywhere I go, stuff like this happens. I have pictures of that urinal in my live journal. If you don't believe it exists, they are up there.
Did they try and sell you the photo that it took of you on the way out for like $5?
We thought maybe those went to the bathroom in heaven. So we raided heaven real quick because you had to have reservations to go in there, and you have to like go through this process of like knocking on a door, and there's like guards and stuff. But we just were like, you know, they only spoke Japanese. And we're just like, no, you know, it's good. And they're like following us all the way. And we're like, no, it's good. And we just walk into the bathroom. And we're like, oh, nothing. It's kind of a letdown, much like that story.
They were following you because they thought you had maybe a slight pee-pee smell on your shoes.
And they would be right. I did have a slight pee-pee smell on my shoes.
Anybody?
Everyone's scared. Except that guy.
You said you were going to do a whole graphic novel on Samurai's Law. Uh-huh. Is he actually going to do something this time?
Nah. 68 pages of nothing. He, in this story, because I can't do a whole page of a guy that moves like this, because that's boring. So what happens is it basically starts like in the Lenore comic, where, you know, he's like some amazing, badass samurai, but he's just so slow that it's pointless. So it starts the same, like an invading army comes to the village and you know, they feel bad, it's the same thing. Like he's trying to draw a sword and they're like, you know, at this point, usually fighting happens. He's like, I know, give me a moment, I'm working on it. And the guy's like, the bad samurai's like, so, you know, when are we gonna get to this? And eventually they get bored and they just go around him and they destroy the village. So there's like a wizard, like a cool, you know, Raiden looking wizard that's feels bad for him, and he's like, I'm going to give you something that's going to help you, and then he rapes him. He's like, so he gives him this little nugget and he says, when you're ready and it's, you know, midnight, I want you to plant this in the ground. And so it's midnight, he plants it in the ground. He's like, what am I going to get? You know, takes him a while to plant it because he's slow. Midnight hits, like the ground rumbles and the earth separates. Not the earth, but the ground separates, and this giant, really cool, like Japanese dragon comes out, just massive and breathing fire and doing cool, scaly stuff. And, you know, the Samurai Sloth is like, yes! This is mine! I'm going to be unstoppable! And then the dragon's all, and coughs up a little doofy dragon, and then the big dragon goes back down the ground and earth closes. And that's what he gets, is a little stupid dragon. And then, but whenever the stupid dragon is near, he can move at normal speed. So he's stoked. He's like, yeah, you know, he's, you know, amazing and he's doing cool stuff. But then like that army comes back and you know, this time Samurai Sloth is just talking smack, you know, this time will be different, you know, you're so dead, you don't even know it yet, you know, blah blah blah. And they're like, all right, well, let's bring it on. It's like a big tense moment, him squaring up against the army. It's about to start, and the dragon's all, takes off. It's all, no! And then some other stuff happens.
But I thought you loved animals.
Dragon's not an animal.
Do you go to the zoo? Because I can only imagine going to
I'm
the zoo.
I'm not allowed to go back to the zoo.
Yeah.
The one incident, the penguin.
I just figure, you know, every animal in there, you want to, like, create some crazy something. Alter ego for, pretty much,
I would,
right?
I would, too. If I could go back.
But not every zoo. We have a zoo. You go to our zoo.
No,
they
I can't
don't
go back to that one.
No, you're...
And I've never been here before, which is weird, so... Yeah, I could go to the zoo.
Questions. We have about 5 minutes left for questions. You at the back. It's hard to miss.
Look at that guy. I'm sorry, man. It's awesome.
Anything similar stuff ever happened that you've never put in a comic that you care to share with us here today?
I can tell you a weird, like, fan experience. It's brief.
Yes, nah. Please.
All right. I'm at a... Oh, God, it's another urinal story. I'm just paranoid to ever pee ever again, you know? Something always happens. Not good stuff, you know? All right, I'm at a urinal. I can't... Do you remember what convention this was? Okay. I know you weren't there, but I remember telling you about it, so I can't... All right. So, I know you weren't with me at the urinal, because, again, weird. And there's a voice behind me, like some guy standing really close to me, going, hey, I'm really sorry to bother you, but I want to show you something that, like, I was too embarrassed to show you out there. And that's just not something you want to hear when you're on a urinal with your, you know, your goods in your hand. And, you know, I'm like, I turn around and he's got a little comic book he made. And I'm like, oh, thank God it's a comic book. And, he's like, yeah, can you take a look at it? I'm like, dude, I'm kind of busy right now, you know, can you come back later? And he was all sad, and he like stood off to the back of the wall. It was like Blair Witch, because he was kind of standing against the wall, like creepy style. And then, you know, I'm washing my hands, and I'm like, what's that guy gonna do? You know, I'm kind of scared of him. And I'm going to leave, and then he's like, oh yeah, here's the book. And I'm like, thanks, man. And then, so I walked right out the bathroom, standing there, and my friend was waiting for me, so I'm talking to my friend, and I hear the urinal flush, and he's immediately outside, so he didn't wash his hands. He's like, yeah, man, thanks again for, you know, taking the time. I'm like, there's no way in hell I'm shaking your hand, man, you didn't wash your hands. And the guy literally would just turn red and ran off. And I've never seen that guy again. Which is good. Really.
Maybe he only has the superpower to talk to other human beings while he's in the bathroom.
It's a captive audience. I mean, I'm going to try and do all my meetings now in a bathroom.
So you'll be doing the signing in which bathroom here?
All of them, 4:00? Somehow. Okay.
Question?
Did you actually end up reading the comic books?
That's a good question. I don't remember reading it. I think I was grossed out even touching it because of the not washing his hands thing. Because I'm like, you probably put stuff on it. Filth, you know? But I really creeped out about people not washing their hands when they do stuff.
Question over there?
Do you remember when you were a kid and any weird stuff like that happened to you?
Oh, man. I know there was a lot of stuff. My parents actually took me to a psychologist twice, because the first one said I was going to be okay. I was going to just march the beat of a different drummer. And they're like, my parents are like, what does that mean? Because you know? They sent me because I had just drawn down the hallway a maze. There was like a little baby fetus monster, and then the umbilical cord was a maze that you actually had to follow and find the end that went to freedom, like out of the womb. And I was like 6. So they're like, whoa, you know, so they took me to a psychologist and they're like, there's something messed up with this guy. And the psychologist is like, no, he's just going to be a creative guy. We've seen this before. Not like that, we haven't seen it, but, you know. And then they took me to another one who just basically said the same thing, so. Parents like, were, like, are super supportive now, because I'm old, but, you know, that was awkward. Was that a question? Oh, no, it was a weird story when I was a kid. God, I can't really remember what I did yesterday, so it's hard to think back. I did fall off it's not funny, but it's awful. I fell off a cliff chasing squirrels. I had gone to catch frogs, but the pond had dried up. So me and my friend, Billy Cunedo, I can still remember his name, had this bright idea that we'd catch squirrels with our frog net. So we're chasing squirrels, thought we could do it. I'm running, I'm ahead, I was about to get that squirrel. And it was like a Bugs Bunny cartoon. Like literally, I ran through some brush and there was just nothing below me. I felt like there was that pause, although I'm sure there's not, where you're like, and you fall. But it was just straight down, and the only thing that probably saved my life is that on the side of the cliff, one little piece came out, so I bounced off that. my head, and then landed on the ground, and I was kind of out of it, and I remember trying to get up, but my leg wouldn't move. I looked down, my leg was going up that way, with the bone sticking out the side, with my kneecap on the ground. I was like, oh God! So, yeah, that didn't work out so well. And so growing up, I had a plastic knee, I still have a plastic knee now, it makes knee noise. My bracelet fell off too when I did that. And this leg didn't grow at the same rate as the other leg, so it's a little shorter. So over the years I learned to push up with it as I walk. So that's why I always look like when I'm walking, like I'm hearing some funky tune. I'm always like, it's just because my leg is dumb.
Did you get a specific tattoo over that body part to commemorate?
Like, I can't. The scar is really bad on there. It seemed like it would hurt. There was a huge scar. It was like 47 stitches. And, you got to remember, my leg was little, so 47 stitches was like huge.
Did you have one?
Yeah, I was just wondering what influenced your sense of humor growing up?
My dad was a lot of it. And that's another one, I put that in a book, but if you haven't seen it, my dad is just evil. Like but the nicest guy, he's the nicest guy. I mean, he goes out of his way to do, he's one of those guys, like the neighbor that will help everybody, just out of the goodness of his heart, and he's just awesome. But growing up, he was awful, because he had this really dark need to terrify me all the time. So, like, my dad knew that I would check the closet before I went to bed every night to make sure, to make sure it's not monsters. Duh. And if you see him, you can ask him. He really did this. I opened the door one night and my dad's in there in a jumpsuit, ski mask, and a chainsaw. And right away, I was like, which oddly enough, that story also ends as a pee-pee story. And then, like, another time, I didn't really convey it well in the comic because people are just thought he was behind the couch, but I had my friend over, and we were watching horror movies all night. Bad idea with my dad. And so we're all scared little kids, And we finished watching the first movie, then we went and had snacks, and then we came back and put on the second movie. We're sitting on the couch. We're like an hour into the movie. This really like tense moment's happening because like in the movie, like the music, something scary is about to happen. And my dad pops out from within the couch. He's been in there for an hour, biding his time for the right moment. Just like, ooh, I'm gonna get him so good. Which in retrospect is impressive. That kind of commitment. But man, my friend Chris just, it was amazing to see a small boy fly. Peter Pan, he took off in the sky. It was, and that was, these are two incidences out of hundreds. So like to this day, I'm just paranoid. Like, at home, I was checking doors and, my dad's given me some issues, but he's awesome.
And this is the man that took you to the psychiatrist, right?
Yeah, see, that's really, really fun. I can't wait until he's like really old and I have to take care of him, and I'm going to take him to the psychiatrist. And I'm going to hide, and that's not fair, because I'd probably kill him. Man, that's not fair. I was always looking forward to that until right now when I realized that.
Well, maybe just before he gets that old.
No, because I would scare him, he would have a heart attack, I'd cry, and then he'd be like, aha, kid. We're like, damn it! My dad's the kind of guy that would fake his own death, so I mean, I want to see the body.
Well,
when it happens.
It all makes sense now. A little bit more.
All right.
Thank you, everybody. We have to clear the room for the next folks, and thank you for your questions.
Thank you.